Why they fail? Because they fail to respect God as their real leader. They fail to respect God as their real judge. The period of the judges, approximately, is around 1300 to about 1000 BC. It's right before the empire started. So, of course, there were, in the same period, very famous judges, including Gideon, Samson, and Deborah. But at the same time, the next book, Ruth, the setting is also in the time of judges. So judges is a specific period in the Israelite history. Very short, about 300 years only. But that period is the most chaotic period in the faith for the Israelites. There's never another period as turbulent, as up and down. We can use the term roller coaster. Up and down too much. And there are a lot of cycles. This is just a graph about where they are. Why they fail? Because they fail to respect God as their real leader. They fail to respect God as their real judge. The period of the judges, approximately, is around 1300 to about 1000 BC. It's right before the empire started. So, of course, there were, in the same period, very famous judges, including Gideon, Samson, and Deborah. But at the same time, the next book, Ruth, the setting is also in the time of judges. So Judges is a specific period in the Israelite history. Very short, about 300 years only. But that period is the most chaotic period in the faith for the Israelites. There's never another period as turbulent, as up and down. We can use the term roller coaster. Up and down too much. And there are a lot of cycles. This is just a graph about where 1000 BC. So this is the judges by the chronology of the Ehab, Deborah, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, all four in here. Eli the priest, and then Samuel, considered also one of the judges, but he is to be the last judges. He go around the country to judge people. But of course, he was also the prophet. So this is the chronology of the timing. So just remember about the basic. Which year they came out of Egypt? Which year they came out of Egypt? Which year they came out of Egypt? Did you write down? Memorize it. Young people, you have very sharp memory. Just read the ones and memorize. 14. 46. Which year they are about to enter the land of Canaan, Deuteronomy? 1406. So, this timeline should be in your mind. After you study Old Testament, the outline should remember all this dating.
Okay.
In the book of Judges, there's one cycle which keep repeating. It's called the cycle of judges. When you go for a washing machine, right, you put the clothes there, you press the button. Before you press the button, you set washing cycle. This means every time it goes, you repeat the same thing over and over again. For the people of Israelites, they were in a vicious cycle. For their relationship with God. Vicious cycle. First, always start with people serve God. Right after they enter the land of Canaan, they still serve God for a little while. But after their lives settle down, they fall into the sin of adultery or idolatry. Mainly it's idolatry at that time. They start to worship another gods. Just like breaking the covenant. Just like you have already have a wife, but you go to sleep with another woman. This is very serious. Breaking your marriage vow with God. And then God punished them by allowing them to be enslaved. Other country, other people disturb them, enslave them, trouble them. And as a result, they cry to the Lord. They ask for help. And God did listen, raise a judge to deliver them of the problems. And then, after they were delivered, they served God. But soon after, they fall into the same cycle again. So this is called the cycle of judges, the cycle of sin. Now think about us today, daily life. Look at this. Does it look familiar to you? You could be inside this circle. You come to YTTC. Wow, you think you serve God, right? And you pray, and you pray, you cry. And you pray, you cry, and then you make determination, okay, when I go home, I'm not going to do it again. And they start to serve the Lord. But after five weeks, 6 weeks, you go back home, old habit come again. And then, wow, and you suffer. And then you feel bad. And then you repent, oh God, I'm not going to do the same thing again. This year I've come to YTTC to repent and pray, fix my life. And God help you. And after a while, you go home, you come to YTTC, but after YTTC, you go back to the same cycle, right? Or every time SSC or whatever spiritual event. Sometimes it is us. You look at the book of Judges, you look at ourselves. We are not laughing at them saying that why they are so rebellious, why they are so useless. Actually, we are just like them. Even though we are not worshipping physical idols, but we do have a lot of spiritual idols in our hearts. So what is the theme of the book of Judges? The theme is, God is the real judge of the people. God is the real judge of the people. The verse is in chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 2, 16. Next. Where are we? Chapter 2, verse 16. God raised judges to save them. And then who is the real judges behind? Chapter 11, 27 is another key verse. Chapter 11, 27. May the law of judge, underline this, the law of judge. Who is the real judge? It's not really the physical judges, but rather it's God who judge among men. So these two key verses give us the idea that if you respect God as the real judge, your life will be secure, blessed, prosperous, peaceful. But if you don't respect God as your real king and the real judge, then your life will be in trouble. That exactly reflected on the life of the judges. Think about this, right? Every single judge represents one spiritual revival. But sadly, right after every revival is another downfall. There are so many judges here, you can even count how many. I lost track of it already. But they never seem to learn from the lesson. Now how about you? Are you one of them? Are you in the cycle of keep repenting and coming back to do the same thing again? So the key word, the key teaching we can learn is you can break the cycle. Underline it. Write it down. You can always break the cycle. You don't have to repeat the failure. You can make a decision and follow God wholeheartedly and no going back to your own mistake. But that will require very much effort and determination to deal with your sin, to deal with your weakness, and to remove the idols. The key is remove the idols. When the idols are there, God cannot be there. We really have to remove the idols in our hearts. And that is the most important thing. So if you look at the book of Judges, there are reasons why they fail so bitterly. The first reason we talked about in the last lesson is because they did not remove the Canaanites. The first reason they fail is because they never really implement God's instruction of removing the Canaanites. So I'm not going to repeat that. We talked about that. The second reason why they fail so bitterly is because of marriage problem. Because of marriage. Chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. Chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. Next. Chapter 3, verse 4.
And the verse 4. And they were left after the night, after the wine. And they went over with the king's commandment of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the Moses. This is the rule of the Lord Israel, and brought them in.
The reason they fail is because they intermarry with Canaanites. This is the main reason they fail. After they intermarry with Canaanites, the Canaanite women bring their gods into their house and tell the husband, please worship my gods. They are also good. Why you don't listen? Why you don't follow? And Israelite men, they follow them. And that is how they fell. Now, brothers, look at my eyes. This is very important. Men are very easily influenced by women. In the future, your wife will determine your spiritual success or failure. This is very important teaching. Your mom is not going to influence you, your dad is not going to influence you, even your preacher cannot influence you. Who influences you the most? Your wife. Women may not be influenced very much by men, but in the society from before until now, women influence the men more than men influence women. Let me ask you, how many in your house your mom is the real boss? Raise your hand. Don't have to look at others. In your house, your mom has the final say. Who cares about who your dad is, even if it's a chairman or businessman or preacher? Who, your mom has a real say, right? It's not going to be honest. At least more than half of the time, she makes decision, right? More than half. And the other half, you just don't want to raise hand. Right. Women have a lot of influence, even though not officially. They are officially not the leader, but unofficially they are the leaders. Unofficially they are the more influence. So what does it mean? Why they fail? Because their marriage failed. Because they marry outsider. They marry Gentiles. So sister, now you look at my eyes. In the future, make sure you influence your husband positively. You influence them, but whether it's positively or negatively. You can tell them, oh, don't do too much holy work, spend more time at home with me. Then he will listen to you. But if you say, no, don't worry about me and kids, right? You can go to work for God, we can take care, I can take care. And then he will also listen to you. If you say, oh, after church, long day already, I want to go home early, don't stay for fellowship, don't go hang out with the church people. I want to go home. I want to go home quick, right? And then you will go. But the wife said, no, stay in the church. The church needs you, right? And then you will listen. If your wife said, oh, this computer is old, buy a new one, and then you will buy. If your wife said, no, don't waste too much money. I said, okay, I have to wait. So wife have enormous power. It's true, right, CJ? In your home, your mom is a good woman, right? Yeah. A good woman, people say, influence three generation. Write down. This is not official class material. This is about marriage. A woman influence three generations. Man, listen carefully. Huh? If you marry the wrong woman, three generations will suffer. First, you yourself will suffer. Why? Because you spend so much time with this woman. Right? You eat with that woman, sleep with that woman. Whole day you're with her, except you go to work. When you go home, you see that woman. That's why some men don't want to go home out of the work. They want to overtime. They go to drink beer with their friend. They don't want to go home. Why? They say, if I go home, I'm just like go back to hell. So if you marry the wrong woman, you yourself will suffer. Your generation will suffer. Secondly, your parents will suffer. If you marry the wrong woman, you are not allowed to play filial piety to your parents. Right? But if your wife is very good, you say, oh, you have to bring money to your mom. You haven't bring money to her a long time ago. You need to take care of your mother. So if you marry the wrong person, upper generation will suffer. Thirdly, if you marry the wrong woman, your children will suffer. Right? Your children will suffer. So Israelites, why they suffer so much? Because they married the wrong woman. Why did Adam have to work so hard? Sweating and not eating the fruit free in the Garden of Eden. Why? Why? Because what? Because his wife tell him to eat this. I'm sorry, it's not like a prejudice, right? But this is true, right? This is woman, the Bible said, sin first and then the man follow. You see, from day one, women have influence. So that's why, brother and sister, you need to remind this teaching. If you're a sister, make sure you have good influence to your future husband. And your brother, make sure open wide your eyes before you marry. Don't just look at, wow, how beautiful she is, right? This is deceiving, I tell you. You put on more makeup, everybody look the same. Really, you ask the photographer, right? They can make everyone look like a movie star in their wedding picture. Isn't it? No one look at the wedding picture, the company, the advertisement. Everyone look like a movie star. They give the makeup, the lighting, the dress. Everybody look like perfect. But those are not long-lasting. Why open look at the character, the faith? Is that a good faith? Good character? Don't just look at the appearance. Okay, I'm too far off the topic. Let's come back, right? Okay, so, yes, out the failure of the marriage. So hopefully, in the future, you all marry in Christ, in True JC. I think Mr. Michael gave you a lesson already, right, about marriage. Did he give you an exam? No exam. Okay, another reason they fail is they fail in their religious education system. They fail to teach their children. Chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10.
Verse 10. When all that generation had been gathered to the fathers, another generation rose after. He did not know the Lord nor the word which he done.
These two reasons are related. If you marry the wrong woman, of course, you yourself, the faith cannot be kept. And your wife will not tell your children about God. Because your wife raised the wrong God. So if you marry the wrong wife, and of course your children will suffer. Not only physically, but spiritually. So the children doesn't know what happened for the previous generation. How God, the great miracle that God has done in Egypt, in wilderness, in the land of Canaan, in the conquer. So because of failure of RE, that's why they suffer. So today is the same thing. Why are you in the church? Because of RE. In the future, you want to make sure one thing, very important. don't emphasize so much about learning piano, different languages, or go to tutor class, but forget about church. In your children, the most important thing is religious education. Bring them to church is not enough. At home, talk to God, talk about God to them. I don't just bring them to church and think it's enough already. So, of course, in this book, this is a very dynamic, very interesting book. Talk about so many judges. But there's one very special thing we learned from the book of Judges. Is God can use different kind of people to work for Him. God can use different kind of person. God will not use the same person, same kind of people. Different character. Different strength, different weaknesses. But God can still use them to fulfill a purpose. Just like Samson is very much different than Jephthah. And Deborah is very different than Gideon. And the weapon they use is very different too. I think there's a song in the past, because in Taiwan we learned about a song about God used different workers, given different key. For example, what weapon does Samson use besides his bare hand? What did he use? One time he used a bone, dry bone of the donkey to kill thousands. And another one used a knife to kill the fat enemy. I forgot his name. I think it's Ehud. Yeah. So different one can use different weapons, but God can use them all. So this is about the Book of Judges, and there's so many stories. We really don't have time to repeat it, but we can look at the conclusion. Underline this verse. This is a statement recording the chaotic situation in the people of Israelites. Why? Because there were no kings. Everyone do as they wish. But that also means they don't respect God as their king. It is not that they don't have king. Who is the king? God is the king. But they don't want God to be their king. And that's why in the first book of Samuel, they ask for a king. They don't want God to be the king, so that everybody do what they want. So that's why it's so chaotic. And in your life, if you don't want to respect Jesus as your king, if you don't want God to be your king, you live a life according to what you want, you'll be just like that, chaotic, lost, emptiness. You see the music comes again outside. Another dancing night, I think. Partying. You know, those who make music. A few years ago, there was a very famous UK artist, pop star. Name was called Amy Winehouse. Amy Winehouse? Is it Winehouse? Her name is very tragic too. I think she died from drinking too much alcohol or drugs. Was it right? Yeah. So you ask the question, why all those famous pop star, movie star, famous people, they have everything. They have money, they have fame, they have talent. But why they are so stupid? To use drugs, to use alcohol, and then to destroy their own life? Because they cannot control it. Because their life is very empty. They make songs to make other people happy, but they themselves are very unhappy. See, this is the tragic thing, right? They make songs, everybody sing their song, and wow, they feel so much fun. Watching the movie, so much sports star, making people cheers. But their life is so empty to the point that money and fame cannot satisfy them anymore. They want to use substance to excite themselves, but rather they're destroying themselves. So if you don't have Jesus as your king, even though you have the whole world,
you will not be satisfied.
So the book of Joseph really reminds you, Jesus shall be your king. Sorry.
Very nice screen.
Yes. So, this is the book of Judges. Anyone, any question?
No question.
Anyone? Next book, the book of Ruth.
Chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Next, please read.
Verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the Judges were, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Verse 2. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephraim, Judah, and he went to the country of Moab and remained there.
The setting of the story of Ruth was in the time of Judges. Once again, it's a time of chaotic situation,
and a lot of enemy were disturbing them
every now and then. But now it begins with a family. But this time, this family make a wrong decision, and because of this wrong decision, the whole family suffer. What wrong decision is this?
Abimelech had decided
that Bethlehem has no food and we are going to move to Moab. And that is a very tragic decision. In a long time, it really showed that
it doesn't work well because God is not pleased with your decision.
So, the story unfolds, and I don't have to repeat the story, but what is the theme of the book? What is the theme of the book? The theme is not about love story. Many people think it's a love story. Of course, it was a great love story, but the theme is not a love story. Some people think the theme is about in-law, right? How can in-law deal with each other? Sister, right? In the future, your biggest challenge is, do you know what? After you get married?
Rebecca, what is it?
Parents.
Not your own parents. Your in-laws, right? In the future, sister, your biggest challenge is, how do you deal with your husband, your future husband's parent, especially her, his mother? Why? Under the earth, there's no other relationship more difficult than mother-in-law and sister and daughter-in-law. Because two women fighting for attention for one man. Who do you think your mother and your grand your father's mother side, your mother and your mother and your father's mother, huh? Didn't get along very well. Anyone? It's okay, don't have to look at others, just a survey. Your mother and her mother-in-law didn't get along quite well. Anyone? So you all get along well? I mean, wow, that's good. Because all of them learn from the book of Ruth. Huh? Really, in the world, outside world, really, many of daughter-in-law and mother-in-law didn't get along. But this book is not about that. What is the main theme of the book?
About redemption.
I think there's only one E, huh? Redemption.
What's this in Chinese?
救赎.
救赎的预表. Prefiguration of redemption. The salvation plan about the prefiguration of redemption was hidden in this story everywhere. First, it's hidden in Ruth herself. Ruth herself, where did she come from? What kind of people was she? She was a... What was her background? What was her people were called? Where? What land did she come from? Moabite. Now, Moab, of course, it's Gentile. But there are so-called different kind of Gentiles. some are even the worst class of Gentiles. Some Gentiles, they can convert to Judaism. They can still go to the temple. But according to the law of Moses, there are certain group of Gentiles, they are not even allowed to enter the tabernacle or the temple, because God hates them so much. They are so dirty. They are considered to be not pure. So they never are supposed to enter. But Ruth, through Boaz, she converted to become an Israelite, chosen people. And her name is in Jesus' genealogy. There were only two women in the book of Matthew, first chapter in Jesus' genealogy. The first one, which one? This morning, this afternoon I mentioned this. There were only two women's names mentioned in Jesus' genealogy. Rahab, she was a Canaanite woman. And then Ruth, she was also a Canaanite woman. So this is a prefiguration about Gentiles will be saved. Gentile will be included. Gentile will be included in the salvation plan of God. Even though they were regarded as scum, not worthy to be saved, but in the new time, God's salvation plan, Ruth can be even in Jesus' genealogy. Gentile will be saved. Secondly, through this story, it mentioned about one very important concept. It's called kinsman redeemer. Is it 1 year or 2 years?
2 years.
2 years? Okay, I'll give it back here. Kinsman Redeemer. 中文是自尽的亲属. Chapter 2, verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. Next. One of our close relatives. Another translation of the older English, in KJV probably. What do they call it? It's called kinsman redeemer. This concept was in the law of Moses. For example, there's a person, it's his wife. This person died very young. The widow is there. Nobody take care. And she has no children. Because everyone's supposed to have the children so that the inheritance will be given to that man and carry the name. But this woman died, the husband died, this widow, no children. Then what can we do? There was an arrangement under the law of Moses that his younger brother or older brother should marry this widow. Of course, it sounds a little bit awkward, strange day. But in those times, it was like that. The brother is supposed to marry the widow, and the children that get from the widow will bear the name of the dead husband, so that then the inheritance will not go to another tribe or another name. So the one who did the favor of marrying this widow, actually it's a favor. Don't think that, wow, it's lucky, right? Have another wife. Or no, it's not a lucky thing, because actually it's not a very lucky thing to marry a widow anyway. Plus, it's not an economically profitable way to do it, because the children you give up, you have to raise them up, but the name doesn't belong to you. You have to, for the dead, your dead brothers to remain the name. So it's not actually a very profitable thing to do, but it's a duty to help your dead brother. So the man who do the good to marry the widow is called kinsman what? Redeemer. So Boaz was one of the kinsman redeemer but he was not the closest one, right? Boaz told Ruth on that night on the threshing floor that actually there's another guy who is closer to you than me. But don't worry, I know you are a good girl. you have a woman of good virtue. Of course, probably Boaz liked her too. So Boaz said, let me go to check it out, see whether the other guy want to take you as a kinsman's redeemer. But that guy didn't want to do it. And let's read chapter 3. It's very touching. One of the most touching statements in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 7. This is a really turning point. Chapter 3, verse 7. Please read. Next. Ruth tell him that you are my kinsman redeemer. And Boaz agree, but Boaz said, I have to check another man. I have to check another man, see whether he want to claim this right. And it turned out that the other man didn't want to. To the 4, verse 5 and 6. Next.
Buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabite. They acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. 6. At this the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. Your redeem is yourself, I cannot do it.
Boaz found that man in front of the elder, ask him, do you want to redeem this woman? Well, probably Ruth was very beautiful. I think Ruth is very beautiful. I think all the major characters in the Bible, they are very beautiful. Every time I mention about whether men or female, they're all beautiful. I do think that Ruth must be quite beautiful. So that kinsman, redeemer, in the beginning, he said, Boaz asked him, do you want to redeem it? He said, sure, why not? Well, that woman sounds quite good. But Boaz reminded him, you marry this widow, you have your duty, right? Not only marrying her, but the children you get, the name would go to the dead man. It's not to you. Wow, he think about this. Wow, that doesn't sound very good. It doesn't sound a good deal. Then I don't redeem it. So Boaz said, okay, you don't redeem it, then I redeem it. So invite the elders, strike the deal, give the testimony. So officially, Ruth was redeemed by Boaz. And of course, in this story, Boaz, his role is a higher role. And of course, he is the prefiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. About redemption. Ruth can represent us, the sinners, being redeemed by Jesus. We don't deserve that. We don't really deserve the grace. But because of the love of Boaz, the love of Christ, that we are redeemed. You know, after redeemed, the name of will be reserved, the property will be reserved, and the protection will be over. So three things about the concept of kinsman redeemer. If you have somebody to redeem you, if you were dead, if you were unlucky widow, somebody redeem you, you'll be very happy, right? First, your husband name will be kept, and you don't have to sell your property. Right? The property under still your family name, and your new husband will offer you protection. Nobody can bully you anymore. So this is a prefiguration in Christ Jesus. We will have under the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus' name will protect us forever. And then we were given new property. What is the new property Jesus gave us? Heavenly kingdom. Right? And what protection? Spiritual and physical protection. So this is a prefiguration about Christ, how he redeemed us. This is a really spiritual perspective about the book of Ruth. It's not talking about the love story only, but talk about the whole concept about redeeming of salvation. But of course, Ruth, after she was redeemed, she gave birth. Let's turn to the last chapter, chapter 4, 18 to 22. David, and this really connect this foreign Gentile woman through kinsman redeemer, draw her into the salvation line, the salvation preparation of God in history. So this is really a prefiguration about salvation of God. So the book of Ruth, once again, what's the theme?
Redemption.
Redemption of the salvation grace of God. And of course, in this book, there are a lot of wonderful teachings too. It tells about how God arranged everything. Underline, put it down. How God arranged everything miraculously. How God arranged everything just in the right time, in the right place, and the right people. These three rights you have to write down. This is not controlled by you. You can study hard, you can be hardworking, but if God did not give you the right time, if God did not put you in the right place, if God did not put you to meet the right person, you will never succeed. Who controls time, space, and people? God. Now, when they return back, there are so many fields. Okay, first the timing. The Bible record, when they return, is the timing of what? Barley harvest. Chapter 1, verse 22. Chapter 1, 22 is right timing.
122.
Read. Next. Yes, 122. This is first, right timing. If they return 3 months earlier, nobody is harvesting. If they return 3 months later, harvest finished already. There's nothing to eat. Perfect timing. They didn't plan about it, but God guided them. Secondly, right place. Right place. Chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. Verse 3, yeah? Finish? Oh. So Ruth went to a place, and that one just happened. The Bible says, 巧合, just happened to be Abimelech's tribe, Boaz. You know, this is called the right place. God has to put you in the right place. And of course, when you're in the right place, you meet the right person. Boaz was there. He was not traveling. He was not ill. He was there. And the most important is he was available. If he's already married, right? If he's a very strong wife, tiger, lion wife, doesn't want him to marry another woman, no chance, right? Just happened. This perfect man is single. Even though he's a little bit old, he's a little bit aged. Sometimes, you know, things is not working your way, right? Even a little bit age gap, it doesn't matter, right? He's available. So if he's not available, there's no use. So what does the Bible tell us? Right time, right place, right person. All these are called God's arrangement. God's work. God is working. God's arranging for her. God is arranging for her. Destiny is in God's hand. You don't control your destiny. You don't control your future. Who controls your future? God controls your future. But why God prepared for her future? There's only one turning point in Ruth's life. Chapter 1, verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. Underline these two words. One of the most touching statements in the whole wonderful story. This is the turning point of Ruth's life. I'm not going home. Don't send me to leave you. Wherever you go, I go. Wherever you die, I die. Wherever you bury, I bury. And the most important thing here, underline, your God is my God. Your country, my country. That is wonderful. This is called faith. She never knew what is ahead of her, but she trusts Naomi's God is a good God. So she is willing to follow. This changed her life forever. Not only this life, but spiritual life. So one right decision make your life blessed by God. If you make a right decision, and underline this, right decision means God-centered decision. A God-centered decision. That means when you make a decision, you focus on God, not focus on yourself. Physically speaking, she shouldn't be going back, right? Going back for what? It's a new country. She should stay here in Moab. Moab has Moabite gods. But no, she don't want to worship Moabite gods. She want to worship the true God with Naomi. So this is called God-centered decision. A God-centered decision changed her life and bring her blessings. But of course, a wrong decision bring you trouble. Just like Abimelech at the beginning. Make one wrong decision and whole life, the whole family suffer. So in the future, brothers and sisters, right, you will be making a lot of decisions. So make sure your decision is focused on God. It's not for yourself. If you make the right decision, you put God first, then everything that God will work, put you in the right place, meet you the right person, and put you in the right timing. So you don't have to worry. You just do your part, and God work it out for you. So this is very wonderful. You know, among us, we here see how many people? 30-some people? Your future are all different. Nobody knows what your future may hold. But every single one of you, your future may be a bit different. But if you trust in God, put God first, then your future will be the same. Blessed by God. So this concludes the night class. Do we have to pray or just go down to prayer?
Okay.
Okay, we pray together.